What is going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Beyond the Junkyard podcast, where we take wrestling seriously so you don't have to. I am your host, Junkyard James. With me, as always, on these live streams is my guy, Cody Marinara. It's been three weeks now. We're doing this special on a Friday to get the prediction show in. How's it been? Let's catch up the audience a little bit. How's it been the last couple of weeks, my friend?
It's been crazy. I feel like I forgot how to do this thing. It's crazy. We had a false fall, and now we're back to being hotter than hell. And I can't wait for cooler weather. The world's a crazy place. How are you doing, sir?
Look, we're doing all right. I hope everybody that decided to tune in on this Friday night and watch the podcast is doing great as well. But always, if you're watching this after it's live, while it's on the channel, or you're listening to the audio format that gets posted after the live stream is posted, appreciate everybody for tuning in. If you're watching this on the YouTube video, you see those buttons or those that lay out on the top of the screen there, top right hand side of the screen. We need you to like this video, comment, share, but most importantly, we need you to subscribe and turn on those notifications. That way you are notified as soon as we post a video or we go live. Yeah, like you said, the world is a little bit of a crazy place the last week or so. I think it's best said by some Morgan Wallen lyrics that says, "I'm a little crazy, but the world's insane." And I think that's a good segue to how I want to start this show. So first off, we want to mention some of our partners and affiliate sponsors. That'll be like W Energy. If you use the code Beyond the Yard at W.GG, you get 10% off of your order. Again, that's W.GG, code Beyond the Yard, 10% off of whatever you buy, and you help support the podcast. But we have affiliates with StubHub, WWE Shop, and RSS.com. All of those links are in the description. But as we had this short break, and I think I mentioned it a couple weeks ago on the last episode, which was a Saturday solo episode that we did a couple weeks ago, that we may be changing up some of the content that we talk about on the live stream. Obviously, I don't want this show to be like we watch Dynamite and then the next night go over what happened on Dynamite, because I'm of the belief if you want to know what happened in the show, just like the show's on demand, you can watch it. Watch the show. They will do it better than I can explain it. So I want this podcast to be, you know, interactive with the fans. I want to have a good conversation with me and Cody. But I think it's, there has been an opportunity for us to, and for so long, this podcast, I have kind of wanted it to be a podcast where we kind of keep it focused on like the wrestling world and not necessarily bring the outside stuff inside. But I feel like we're at a good space, a good opportunity now, with some of the events that have taken place, that this will be uh, a good opportunity for us to occasionally bring up some out, you know, other topics outside of wrestling, and some of it may include some difficult conversation with like political issues and things like that. And today is going to be one of those episodes where we're going to start the show by talking about the events that took place last week. It's been about a week and a half now since the political assassination of conservative content creator. I don't know, he did a whole lot. CEO, former CEO of Turning Point USA, Charlie Kirk. And there's been a lot of discourse, I feel, on both sides of the aisle that I don't know how you would explain it. One side wants unity and the other doesn't. Is that a fair statement to make?
Yeah. I think that you can kind of see pretty much one particular side of the aisle is still kind of mourning, but very much angry and upset and right. confused, but weary of it all. Whereas the other side is more so like, I don't want to say celebrating, because I think that that's, I don't think that is the majority of them. I think that there are a few very, very, very crazy people on that side that do celebrate it, but I think what bothers me more is that they're mourning over a late night, I guess you want to call him comedian, I don't even know, a late night host having his show suspended over a gentleman who got assassinated in broad daylight, to where everybody's seen a video of it. That's kind of disturbing.
Yeah, so obviously Jimmy Kimmel's show was suspended, not necessarily canceled. And again, I think this is a byproduct of the social media landscape in general. And we'll get to that point in a minute. But I think the first part, I want to spend some time just talking a little bit about Charlie himself. I think it's safe to say we're both more conservative leaning than anything. I wouldn't say like even myself, I have some things, and I've been very vocal about like Brock Lesnar on this show and the fact that I don't think he should be in WWE, which, you know, is a very liberal position to take. So but on a lot of things like Charlie Kirk, I think it would be good for us to just take a minute. And I don't know how much you were involved in watching Charlie Kirk. I remember Charlie Kirk, like 2016 Charlie Kirk, when he first started Turning Point. And those Prove Me Wrong things were like three people just standing around his table. Like I've seen Charlie Kirk grow this thing that he's done on social media from nothing into last night at a vigil at Colorado State, there were 15,000 people or whatnot there just to commemorate him, because that was supposed to be his next stop on his tour before his untimely passing. I was a big fan of Charlie Kirk. I thought he did it the right way. And I'll let you step in here in just a moment, but there were people like there were people on both sides that they're so quick to criticize the other side without necessarily listening to their point. And what I love so much about Charlie was he held his positions firm, but he allowed the other side to speak. And what his goal was, through allowing them to speak their mind, and him asking them tough questions about their position, they will eventually themselves see the wrong in the way that they were thinking. They weren't, he wasn't trying to bully them or ostracize them for thinking the way they thought. He wanted them to learn why their position was wrong. And I think he did it the right way. And the sad difficulty is he was the one that paid the price, and whoever's going to fill his spot, we've already seen the likes of like Milo Yiannopoulos and others who step in and said they're going to take Charlie's spot at the microphone. They're going to be a lot more aggressive. I don't know if anybody knows who Milo is. He will not do it the way Charlie Kirk did it. He is very much more aggressive. And so I don't know. Like I was a big fan of Charlie Kirk. I think social media at large painted him in a light that unless you saw him behind the scenes, I don't think you understand where Charlie's positions was. Charlie was very much moderate in comparison to a lot of other conservative commentators out there. And so I don't know. I guess before we get into the social media aspect of it, because I think that's a good point, your thoughts just ultimately on Charlie as a whole.
Yeah. I watched a little bit of his stuff, maybe 2018, 2019. I watched a little bit of it. But I have my beliefs and my opinions and my ideas and ideology and all that stuff. But I really didn't tap much into the social media aspect of the conservative viewpoint, commentators or creators. So maybe 2020, 2021, when I really started following the likes of like Steven Crowder, which he is a little more of the outspoken, kind of a little bit more of the brash side of the conservative minds. I would listen to him. I listened to Dan Bongino. I would listen to the likes of them. But then I started watching a little bit more of Charlie because he was different from his message and his tone versus the likes of like Bongino, Crowder, things like that. And gave people, you know, the opportunity to debate, to speak their minds freely and openly with no judgment. It was really refreshing. And I think it was something that really kind of laid the groundwork for people that were on the fence, were leaning a little bit to one side or the other, to say, you know what, that's actually a really good idea. That's actually pretty, pretty open to be able to do that. And I think it's one of the reasons why it's laid the groundwork for the swell of the conservative movement over the last 6-7 years. And while I don't consider myself a diehard Republican, I do think that there's some pretty bad apples on the right, pretty bad apples on the left. I would lean more into a independent that leans conservative for sure. but I think that what Charlie did is very important, but it's going to be a keen reminder for when these other conservative talking heads now kind of pick up where he left off and try to, it's hard to say fill in his shoes, but to kind of pick up where he left off. Like you said, Milo is going to be one. I remember watching Milo back in 2016 and 2015, and man, I thought he was crazy then. I found him more entertaining, and there were some things I definitely agree with him on, but man, you want to talk about somebody that can rile up a crowd pretty easily. He is one, mm-hmm. and and he will be more aggressive, I feel, this time around than the previous. I'm pretty nervous for where the next few weeks, the next few months, potentially the next few years go as a country. I feel like we are at a really bad impasse politically that I'm not sure where we go and how we get out of it. But we just got to take things day by day.
Yeah. And last piece that I wanted to bring up about this conversation, then we'll get to the point of where everybody wants, which is the prediction show for AEW All Out, is you mentioned, you know, the social media aspect of it. Charlie Kirk was so effective because he knew how that Gen Z, this younger generation, they were on social media. He knew that. So he knew what, how to get his content across. But I think there is a very big concern of mine about the social media realm has done to widen the gap, so to say, between people. There's so much division between the left and the right, where the honest majority of people, I think, lean somewhere in the middle. But what happens when social media takes place is you have the loud minority on one side and the loud minority on the other side, and those are the talking points that get the viral moments. And then you have the majority of people who are just kind of in the middle somewhere. Some lean more right than others, some lean more left than others, but for the most part, they're just kind of like somewhere in the middle between both extremes. The reality of the situation is the extremes are where both sides of the aisle are going. I've seen some absolutely despicable rhetoric on social media regarding Charlie Kirk and his death from people on the left. And I've seen people on the right, I think, willfully ignore other situations. I've seen last week was a tough week, not only because of Charlie Kirk's death, but us living in the North Carolina area, the local story with Irina Zaruska and all her videos came out, and that made national news with no one, I think, actually understanding that it's almost been a month since that event happened. And the mainstream world just figured it out last week that it happened. Like, she died August 22nd, and it made headline news on the 9th of September. So I think there's just this divide that is manufactured in the online anonymous world of social media, where even though you can be who you are, you don't have to have an anonymous page. You don't, but you have the freedom at your fingertips to say whatever you want. And I think for the longest of times, people felt like they could say whatever they wanted on social media, get as outrageously grotesque and say the most irrational things and not have to face any form of consequences. And I remember during like the pandemic period of time, there were people on the right that were canceled on social media for just questioning scientific things about certain topics, which I don't know what YouTube's algorithm is or their terms of service, so I'm not going to mention specifics because I don't want this video getting pulled off. But questioning science and the validity of the science got people kicked off of social media platforms. And now, 5 or so years later, that party, that side of the aisle that set those rules, if you say anything we disagree with, we will cancel you. That was the rules that the left created. The balance of power has shifted, but the rules have stayed the same. And now they're crying free speech violations because you're applauding the death of another human being. And I guess my biggest point I want to make, and if you have any last things on this, you can say it. If not, we'll move on. I don't necessarily care where you fall in line on the political spectrum. Like bringing this back to the wrestling picture, and Tony Khan was asked about this in the media call. I don't really care what your political thoughts are. I like AEW a lot because Tony Khan allows wrestlers to be who they are and share their beliefs and be vocal about what they believe. And I don't have to agree with him on it, but they have the right to say what they want. But as long as the government doesn't interfere, it's not a violation of freedom of speech if you lose your job or if you get kicked out of school. Those are just consequences for your actions. I think for so long, people think what you say on social media can't or shouldn't affect you in your day-to-day life. But I think people fail to understand is if you're going to be public on social media about where you work, where you go to school, or any of that, you are 24/7 representing that company, regardless if you believe you are or not. If your page is public enough so that people can find that information, in any way, shape, or form, you are an ambassador for that institution, regardless if you want to be or not, regardless if you are on the clock or not. And I know this because I myself have had to deal with this stuff for things that I said on a prior social media account that people found, didn't like, told my former company at the time. And they were well within their right, even though I disagreed with the decision, they were well within their right to let me go. Same thing. The rules apply. And all the right is doing is following the rules the left made. And so I think the difficulty here for me is, yes, I think you should be allowed to say what you want. And if you don't like Charlie Kirk, okay, then you can say it. But if you say it, expect consequences for people who get offended for what you say, because you are representing something more than just yourself on social media. And so I think that was my biggest irritant, was just like the hypocrisy of the left when the rules that they created were being used against them. Like, because the right side has been telling them for years. And I know this because at one point in time, I was not Republican or conservative and thinking, I was more libertarian and thinking kind of in the middle. I have a bunch of people from both sides. The people on the right were telling the left for years, you realize the precedent you are setting can be used against you at any time should you lose power. And now is that opportunity. And I don't think they were prepared for it. But any last thoughts on this before we move on to wrestling?
I think you did a really good job with kind of describing that. I just think we're setting a really dangerous precedent where I can't speak on a firsthand experience, but I would imagine in the days before social media, going back to the 80s, 90s, early 2000s, people can kind of say and do almost whatever they wanted to and didn't get canceled for it.
Right.
You could have that freedom of speech. You can criticize the president. You can criticize, if you liked a political figure or not, or if you like somebody's ideas or not, and you can kind of just get away with it. It was kind of like everyday talk, and it was just, we had this mutual understanding of, okay, well, you don't agree, I don't agree with you, we agree to disagree, and just kind of move on.
Right.
I feel like this new generation has just unfortunately been so plagued and so brainwashed into the wokeism, the mob that is, you know, cancel culture. And it just sets a really dangerous precedent that we have the First Amendment right of freedom of speech. But if you just, if you say one thing that just makes somebody feel offended in any shape or form, that you are automatically under a microscope. And I just feel like we're all walking on eggshells almost all the time. What can we say? What if we say this? What if we say that? What if we just speak our mind in the most open form way possible, and we could still face the consequences of being fired from our jobs or going viral on social media or on TV? And it's like, man, that's not a world I really want to live in, where I feel like I'm under a microscope 24/7. I feel anybody should be able to have the ability to say what they feel, speak their minds freely and openly without any sort of real criticism, except for the ones that are just really, really, really bad. But I mean, like last Friday, this time last Friday, I was at a friend's wedding, and I would say that quite a bit of the people that were in that room probably leaned toward the left, maybe in the middle, but I think there's quite a few people that leaned on the other side, and we made no mention of Charlie Kirk, and I think that was more so of like, listen, like, this is a day of celebration, day of love, let's not even remotely talk about it.
Right.
And we had a great time, and it was nice that we could be able to just talk to people. You don't have to open up your ideas, you don't have to open up your political affiliations, nothing like that. Just talking to people, celebrating a really good occasion, and just having a really, really fun and good night. And it was refreshing to be able to do that. But yeah, I fear that we're just going down a really slippery slope and a really bad road.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know where we go and how we come out of that area, but let's just let people have their opinions. Let's not get easily offended by everything. Let's not easily offend people that we know what's, you know, they're triggered things that we know will offend people. Let's just try to speak openly and freely without trying to always face a fear of consequence. Like I said, unless it's really, really deemable for a consequence.
Right.
And let me have my team's name back. That'd be nice. I feel like it's
good. Hey, you have the plot of land back. That's about as far as I'll let you have.
I mean, listen, if anybody really feels for the cancel culture thing, I should feel so very upset for the fact that my whole team got its identity changed. I have a really, really, really funny joke, but I don't know the terms and guidelines of YouTube, and I don't want to get kicked off either, so I may be saying that for later. But, I'm glad that we're going back to D.C., but if we could have the logo and the name back, that'd be great. That's never going to happen, but anyways, yeah.
No, you're absolutely right. I think both sides have gotten very, very so much identity-based. Everybody's identitarian. But I keep bringing this up when I talk about like just stuff around this issue. When we went to WrestleMania, I didn't know how the person next to me voted. I didn't really care. We were all there for one purpose, and that was watching pro wrestling. And at that moment, that's all that mattered. It didn't matter who you were, what your gender was, what you believed. We were all there for wrestling. And I think if we used that mindset and the day-to-day, you know, there's people that you're going to work with or go to school with or whatever that are going to have differences in opinion. And I think if there was one thing that Charlie Kirk should be remembered for, it was he allowed all voices to be heard. He didn't silence anyone who believed differently than him, despite what some people may say he did or didn't say or whatever. he really did allow all voices, even the most ridiculous statements, he allowed them to say. And he didn't really interrupt them. And so I wish we could get back.
I 100% agree. I do want to kind of correct you. I think there was one person throughout that show and maybe weekend that we did maybe have an idea of where they may have been, and that's okay. All I'm gonna say is we didn't make a comment that spawned a reaction, but it was funny as hell to experience that. Let's just say that we almost lost one of our friends that weekend.
That's a story for the blooper reel episode of the show one of these days.
Yeah.
All right. It was a great weekend. I was sick for half of it, but it was a great weekend. Let's jump into AEW All Out, which I'm going to be completely honest with you. I almost, with all of these events that have happened in the world, almost snuck by me that this pay-per-view is tomorrow. So as big of an AEW fan, there are moments where I step out of the wrestling bubble and deal with other things. I'm gonna pull up this presentation. I don't know what happened on the transmission of this presentation. You're gonna see it. It's blurry as hell, and I don't know why. But you can make out the people's faces, so it's gonna be all right. I didn't have enough time to fix it getting home today, so note to self. Sports clips takes about 90 minutes to get a haircut on a Friday afternoon, so I didn't have time to fix this. But anyways, here we go. Look how blurry this is. Yeah, you can make it out, kind of. But anyway, let's talk about it. AEW All Out live tomorrow afternoon. If you can't read the sign there, it's 3 o'clock p.m. 2 Central is the main card. The 1 hour tailgate brawl. They're changing 0 hour to the tailgate brawl. The tailgate brawl is going to be live on TNT at 2 o'clock tomorrow, going up against all the college football games. So don't expect good ratings for it. But first hour on TNT, All Out, you can get it on HBO Max or any of, I think that's still on Prime.
Yeah.
For US and then still on Fight TV internationally or Triller or whatever it's called now. But if you get it on Max and you're a Max subscriber, you can get it for the low price, lower price of $39.99. Let's talk about it. This first match, Big Bill called out Eddie Kingston a few weeks ago, and they got a match at All Out. I don't think Eddie Kingston's been seen on TV, so I guess the idea coming into this match is Big Bill don't even know if Eddie Kingston's going to show up. I'm assuming Eddie Kingston's going to show up. He's been teasing a return for quite a while. Given the idea that Big Bill and Eddie Kingston will actually have this match, who do you think is going to win?
I mean, pretty hard to let Eddie lose his first match back. Very kind of odd to bringing him back on TV, but I want to see the entire thing play out beforehand. So maybe it's not all that bad of an idea. I think Eddie's going to win, but. A couple of people have posted on social media, who's going to pick up where Swerve and Will Ospreay left. And those two guys are such big names and such the heart and soul of AEW that there's going to be no easy way to pick up where they left off. It's going to take a collaborative effort. And I think Darby's one of them. Hangman, obviously. Eddie Kingston, definitely. Maybe the likes of Moxley, maybe the Young Bucks. Obviously, Kenny, if he's still healthy. Okada. Orange Cassidy, if and when he comes back, I think would be a big part of that too. But I don't see how Eddie loses going with Mr. Kingston.
Yeah, I kind of lean the same way. I'm getting Eddie Kingston vibes here. I think Kingston wins, and we may get the return of the Learning Tree own Chris Jericho during this match. I think this may be a way to kind of kill the Learning Tree once and for all and allow Big Bill and Brian Keith to separate. But yeah, give me Eddie Kingston to win this match. We'll move on to the next one, equally as blurry. Mark Briscoe versus MJF in a tables and tax match. I don't know what the stipulation is. I guess you can use tables and you can use tax. They should have just called it a anything goes match, but I guess they want it to be cute with the idea. Your thoughts on this match and who wins?
Yeah. Kind of confusing way of setting this up, unless the match is literally just about tables and tacks. But I guess if you're going to use anything else, it's going to be kind of weird. But I am, you know, I think this might be a little bit trickier than usual, just because I'm not sure if MJF has taken real time off for his honeymoon. I'm not sure kind of where either one of them go from after this. Obviously, MJF still has that contract for the world title, so this could be something that could still happen at the end of the night. But I am... I'm going to go with MJF on this one.
Yeah, I think MJF is going to win as well. We may be, you know, following each other's footsteps for the majority of these matches. I think, remember now, Tony Khan has said MJF has to give Hangman 7 days notice. I don't know if this match has anything to do other than there's a really good possibility, given the backstage segment that we got with Tony Khan and MJF on Wednesday, for MJF to have his honeymoon time. He wins his match, beats the ever-living crap out of Mark Briscoe, or cheats, or use something outside of tables and tacks, maybe his diamond ring or whatever, and he gets himself suspended. I'm assuming that may be how they do it, and then once his honeymoon's over and he's able to come back, we get that feud with Hangman and MJF for the title, which to me would either be a perfect place for Full Gear, which I think is in New Jersey this year, or World's End, which is in Chicago.
Ends in Chicago, yes.
Yeah, Chicago. So I think we could set up that match there with Hangman and MJF for one of those pay-per-views, but MJF can get some time off, serve his suspension and storyline, and go have his honeymoon with Alicia. I wonder if at any time if she's going to go by Alicia Friedman or if she's still going to be Alicia Atut. Yeah, give me MJF to win this match. The next one, I think the match that we assumed could have main evented this pay-per-view. I'm sure it'll be one of the last matches on the card. But C and C versus FTR. This may be the most obvious pick. Let's all say it on the count of three. Who's going to win this match? One, two, three.
FTR. Just kidding. Cope and Christian.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Cope and Cage. I think Cope and Cage wins. This may set up their opportunity for... they're either going to set up Nick Wayne and blonde fucker, Kip Sabian, a match, like the actual tag match they were supposed to have without Killswitch, because I think he's gone from them now. Jack Perry's going to be Jungle Boy again, by the way. Or they'll have Cope and Cage battle for number one contendership for the upcoming, whoever wins the tag team four-way, I think is what we have. But, yeah, Cope and Christian's going to win this match. I don't think there's a whole lot we got to say about this match. Also, Dax has a severely broken nose, so I don't know how limited he's going to be fighting tomorrow. So,
yeah, still kudos to him for still going through with it. That was a nasty.
Hey, look! If anything, he can learn from Josh Allen, that because you know he broke his nose against the Jets and still played a football game. So, wear a visor. Become Cody Rhodes. Become Dashing Cody Rhodes and wear a visor. There you go. That's what you got to do.
Harley Cameron, Dashing Cody Rhodes, Undertaker, all wear that crazy-looking face mask. Trish Stratus.
Yep. I think Chelsea Green wore it at one point, too, right?
Yeah, sure, Chelsea did. Yeah, just follow those footsteps, Zach. You'll, especially with being a heel, it works so much better.
All right, let's move on to the next one. The coffin match, John Moxley versus Darby Allin. This was a hard match for me to pick because I could see it going both ways. But a specific man was name dropped a couple times on Wednesday that I think may play a piece in this match. I think that man's name is Steve Borden, a.k.a. Sting. May make a cameo appearance in Toronto, Canada. Who knows? I think Darby Allin wins. What you say?
Yeah, I mean, Darby did name drop him, and obviously that little segment that him and Danielson had where Danielson whispered something in his ear, like Darby was like, hey, no matter what, you can't interfere in my match, and then Danielson said, yeah, I won't, as long as, and then he whispered something in Darby's ear, and Darby obviously liked it. My biggest thing is that if Moxley were to lose this match, I know it's not a pinfall or submission, but technically this would be the third straight pay-per-view match he would have lost. All in July for the world title, last month at Forbidden Door, in a cage match, and this one here. But again, you're not being pinned or submitted, so it's not going to hurt his credibility. But something that I think you got to also look into is that there is a new member of the Death Riders.
Mm-hmm.
You have to figure that person's going to come out and do something. So maybe that counterplay would be Sting. I don't know. I'm very intrigued with this match because I would like to know where it's going to go, what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. This is gonna be a brutal match.
Oh yeah, it will.
You have Darby winning, right?
Yes, sir.
I'll take Darby as well. I just think that this is a good way to protect Moxley from not taking another pinfall or submission. Let him lose in a coffin match. It's not end all be all. And
right. I think storyline, if I understand the story properly, is so Hangman got his revenge against Moxley.
Technically, Osprey and Swerve
got their revenge. Darby's now getting his revenge, setting up next in line. Maybe like Orange Cassidy would be his next guy that he fights. So he can get his revenge because I'm pretty sure he was one of the first ones that he drugged out, which I think ultimately leads to, I was going to say Wrestle Dream might have been Danielson, but it's not in Washington this year. So, you got to imagine at some point in time, Moxley versus Danielson, and Danielson can get his revenge, but. Yeah.
I agree.
That might be at All In next year in London. Might be where they set that up, especially if Will Ospreay's not back.
Yeah.
If Will Ospreay's not back, then they may run with that. But yeah, I think the safe bet is Mr. Darby. All right. I think this is the last non-title match. I tried to put on the non-title matches first. Trios match, the Hurt Syndicate, Bobby Lashley, Shelton Benjamin, and MVP fighting Gates of Agony and Ricochet. I wish the Gates of Agony and Ricochet could get their own trios name instead of the Gates of Agony and Ricochet. Why is MVP wrestling? Like, my hope is MVP comes out to start this match and says he ain't feeling like wrestling, and they introduce an actual fucking wrestler, because MVP's too old to be doing, and he had a match in AEW at one point, and he looked god awful in it. I don't know why he's wrestling. Regardless, this match is official, and I think Ricochet and Gates of Agony win.
I'm still really interested to see what comes out of this for more so the Hurt Syndicate than Ricochet and Gates of Agony. I mean, are they finishing up? Are they still going and just putting teams up? I would like to know.
My biggest question is, Ricochet and Gates of Agony are heels, but aren't the Hurt Syndicate also heels?
I would say they're more so tweeners. I think they were heels, and then crowd gets behind them. They're kind of the cool heels, so now you automatically kind of get flipped over a little bit to a tweener type of role. They're not a babyface at all, but I don't think that they're a bona fide heel anymore, so I think they're just that kind of tweener that the crowd gets over and the crowd loves them. I guess if you really had a hate face versus heel in this match, the Hurt Syndicate would technically be the face, but I think I'm going to go with Ricochet and GOA as well. And it's not to copycat. Yeah, I just think that they have the better,
right,
better momentum going for them. And I think that they have that could potentially lead to a trios championship match down the road.
Well, speaking of those trios titles, all three members of the trios division champions are wrestling tomorrow, but on the tailgate brawl. Why are they not in a trios title match? When are they ever going to defend those trios titles?
Well, to be fair, two of the three are in a tag team match, so we've got two thirds of them being in a tag team match. But yeah, I don't get it. The whole trios scene is just, it's not good.
Like, I just wonder if at some point in time, if Tony Khan just scraps the trios title, like, obviously he's going to run trios matches, that's a staple of AEW, but like, just scrap the trios belt and just like give us something else, because they're not utilizing it. This would have been a great, and I know we don't like having super mega multi-man matches, but a triple threat trios match for the trios title, I would have preferred over not having, like, having a trios match and it not be for the trios title on the pay-per-view.
Yeah, I agree with that. Now, that triple threat trios match, as long as there's one member from each team in the match at the same time, like a triple threat at all times,
right,
I'd be cool with that, because that'd be a little bit different, something unique, but I think that'd be nice.
All right, let's move into some of these title matches. The first one, the AEW Unified Championship three-way. We got the champion, Kazuchika Okada, defending against Mascara Dorada and Kanosuke Takeshita. My apologies, Mr. Alpha. Don Callis, please don't kill me for the mistake. Is Don Callis getting rid of Takeshita? Like, he got rid of Kenny Omega?
I think eventually it's going to lead to that. And I cannot wait for a Takeshita Okada singles match.
Mm-hmm.
There's a reason why it's a triple threat.
Yep.
There's going to be a specific person that's going to take the pinfall or submission. Yep. Now, we said that, what, last month or 2 months ago for...
for the Was it for the Bandito, the Brodito match? We said Brodito will take the pin.
Oh yeah, and they ended up getting the win. So they, I mean, I don't think Mascara Dorado is going to win the title, but it would very much surprise me if Takeshita or Okada took a pin or submission in this match.
Right. With that being said, I'm taking Konosuke Takeshita to win the Unified title.
I'm going to go with Okada. I'm going to say Okada retains, and it's going to build to an eventual singles match between Okada and Takeshita for the Unified Championship, maybe at Wrestle Dream.
Mm.
Could be at Full Gear, but I think either way we're going to lead to them having a one-on-one match for the Unified title, and a match that's going to be amazing. But right. We're going to savor that because we have a third man in this match, and Okada's going to win. So there's our first difference of opinion there.
Oh, I promise you there's going to be at least one more.
I have a feeling as well.
All right, let's talk about that AEW World Tag Team Championship four-way ladder match. So the champions, Brodito, they're fighting Etchicero and Josh Alexander, Jet Speed, and the Young Bucks. Who do you think wins this one?
I think it's going to lead to Cope and Christian eventually winning the World Tag Team titles, and Brodito's a face tag team, and they're not going to lose to them. I think the Bucks are winning.
Okay.
I got the Bucks winning.
So, I originally wrote down the Young Bucks, but then I thought about it, and I think the idea coming in here would be what would happen. Let's just say, like, the Young Bucks won that $500,000 or whatever they won, and on Wednesday they paid off production that supposedly to get their actual pyro and all of that stuff back. What if storyline is they tried to pay off the ref to have him fast pin, but the check bounced or whatever behind the scenes. And because whatever one likes to spend all the money on the slot machines.
Oh, Nick, I think it was.
Yeah. Lost all the money, and the ref didn't fast count. I think Jet Speed's winning this match. I think they were supposed to beat Hurt Syndicate for the belts. And Hurt Syndicate didn't want to lose to them. And that's how Brodito won the belts. And Brodito was okay dropping the belt, having a short title run, getting their moment in the spotlight. But I think Jet Speed are going to win the titles. And I know Cope and Christian are not technically heels, and maybe they can be first in line. But maybe it sets up a Jet Speed Young Bucks feud first. And then maybe we get to Copen Christian a little bit further down the line. Yeah, give me Jet Speed winning this matches tomorrow. So what happened there is we're going to agree with all the non-title matches.
Evidently, to the title matches, and all of a sudden shit hits the fan.
All right, let's talk about the next title match. We're going to agree on this one. The TBS Championship match. Mercedes Moné is winning this, right?
You know, I'm telling you this right now. If Rio wins this match, I might boycott AEW for a month.
For a month?
Yes.
Just a month?
Listen. Because I can't watch WWE, so I have to come back. I don't like the fact that Moné stood over top Riho last night. But I think that that's a setup because Riho did win her match. That technically she did get a win before pay-per-view. So it's kind of doing a little bit of a flippy-floppy, swervy-torvy type of thing. I still think Mercedes is retaining.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I think Mercedes Moné retains. I think Listen, I love both of these wrestlers. Riho is awesome. I don't care what anybody says. Riho is great. And she's the ultimate underdog, and so that makes her fantastic. I love Riho. But I love Mercedes Moné as well, and she, her time's not over. I keep saying pay-per-view after pay-per-view, she's eventually going to drop these belts, and she doesn't end up dropping belts. She ends up winning more every pay-per-view weekend. So I expect her by the end of the week to be a 10-time champion at some point in time. Yeah, Mercedes Moné, I think, wins this one. Now let's talk about the AEW Women's World Championship. Four-way match. We have the champion, Toni Storm, against Jamie Hayter, Chris Statlander, and Tekla. And this one was tough for me to make a decision on. I'm almost certain we're going to have a difference of opinion on this one. So I'll let you share your winner first. Who wins this match?
I initially was going with Jamie Hayter. And after last night, and after the past month of a certain direction, I feel, I'm not going to say that I think Statlander wins the title tomorrow. I think Marina Shafir comes out and helps her win, and it solidifies her as being a new member of the Death Riders. And she wins the championship.
Okay. Okay. All right, so Toni Storm made a promo on Wednesday that made it sound very convincing that she was dropping this title, which typically, if you followed a typical stance, meant she's going to win the title. But I kind of believe her when she said that she may walk in as champion, but leave not as champion, and her time may be over. I really do believe that that may be the case, because it's a four-way match, which typically in AEW means it's no disqualification. And there's a group called the, I hate this group name, the Triangle of Madness. Fuck, I hate that name so much. That I love. I love the wrestlers. The name sucks. That are going to play their part in some way, shape, or form, in this match. And, you know, I think, we both have a different person winning the title other than Toni Storm, but I think Tekla wins this match. Tekla is and has far, I think she has surpassed the greatness of Mariah May already, and she hasn't really had that great of a story. If she could get a really good story, I think you can see the greatness of Tekla, but she's finally working this American system and is getting it, getting a grasp on it, and I think Tekla has been one of the best signings in AEW's history, and I think she wins the women's title tonight, tomorrow night.
I think her only feud with Queen Aminata has been great, but I'm really, really hoping that after Wednesday, with that no disqualification match, whatever they had, please do not have them fight for a year. Please. We've seen at least six matches out of these two, and they've been really good. And right. They have a natural chemistry in the ring. Their feud is good. The crowd enjoys it. But I think we've run its course. We've seen a bunch of different types of matches, a bunch of different types of things going on with the storyline with them too.
Right.
It might be one of those things where you could put them in the ring against each other almost any other, you know, every few months, and no matter what, it's going to be a barn burner because they have that good kind of chemistry. But separate them for a little bit, please. Now, I think Tekla, to me, is the first one that I'm saying is not going to win, because she had a match on Wednesday and won. Toni Storm didn't have a match. Hayter didn't have a match. Statlander didn't have a match. So, therefore, my brain works with, okay, the person who wins the match on Wednesday is showing, hey, we're going to give you that feel-good win the week of the pay-per-view because you're not winning on Sunday or Saturday.
All right, Vince McMahon. You can leave the chat now.
Listen, it's kind of the same principle, man. And Tony Khan, he doesn't always follow that. There's been times I thought that, and I've been completely wrong too. But that's the way my brain processed it. But I think Tony's reign is coming to an end. I think we've just run the gimmick enough at this point that she needs some time off to just recharge the batteries. And she can come back as timeless. She can come back as whatever she wants to. But I think we just need to give her a little bit of a break. And the absence will make the heart grow fonder. And we'll miss her if she does go away for a little bit. But I think it'll be good for her to just kind of get away for a little bit and come back stronger, just as entertaining and ready to pick up wherever she leaves off.
Yeah, no, absolutely. But I think this pay-per-view, and before we get to the world title match, this pay-per-view has shown us a few things. One, AEW is really good at putting on a lot of matches on all of their pay-per-views. But two, they're able to do it without Will Ospreay, Kenny Omega, Britt Baker, Willow Nightingale. Like, the depth of AEW's roster, like, it can allow for a Tony Storm to take a few months off and it still have a really good women's division. It can allow for Kenny Omega and Will Ospreay and Swerve Strickland and whoever else that wants to take time off to take time off. And we still have the depth to put on, like, this pay-per-view. I don't know if it'll be pay-per-view of the year, but it's going to be a really good pay-per-view tomorrow.
And I think too that, I don't think this has been the best build pay-per-view ever.
Right.
I don't want to say that some of these matches have been thrown together. The tag team title match for sure was thrown together. I think that there's some things like we really don't need that, but okay. But sometimes the pay-per-views that may not have the biggest hype going in it for AEW sometimes turn out to be some of the better ones because it's not that I feel
well. Yeah,
they always have pressure on themselves. Don't get me wrong, but I think that when your expectations are a little bit lower and they come out and it's just like, wow, barn burner after barn burner, it's like, all right, it's a pretty damn good pay per view, and maybe we should have hyped it up a little bit more. But yeah, either way, I think it'll be a good show overall.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, we got one last match. AEW World Championship on the line. We got the world champion Adam Hangman Page taking on the TNT champion Kyle Fletcher. The stipulation, as far as I am aware, is if the Don Callis family interferes in any way, shape, or form, Kyle Fletcher not only loses due to disqualification, but he is also stripped of the TNT championship, which is an interesting stipulation. And I enjoy having this type of stipulation in the match. It almost makes me feel like Fletcher wins via disqualification, as if Hangman is going to have somebody interfering on his behalf. But I'm going to say Hangman wins. It'll be a clean win. One of the Don Callis members shows up and Kyle Fletcher has to have a moment of saying, "Don't you dare get in this ring," type of thing. He's distracted. Hangman gets a kind of a cheap win. That's going to be the way I look at it. But I think Hangman retains. I'm not quite sure why Fletcher got a world title opportunity. But this will be a pretty good match. I think Tony Khan can do the funniest thing in the world. Because WrestlePalooza starts at 7 p.m. Eastern time, which I assume will be about the time All Out ends. If they run it as a four-hour pay-per-view, it'll end right at 7. If this match goes to like 7:30 and makes it so that people can't watch John Cena fight Brock Lesnar, which is starting WrestlePalooza, that'll be the funniest thing I would ever think of seeing in my entire life.
I kind of feel it's gonna happen.
Yeah. I think WWE made the dumbest mistake announcing that that match starts the show. Because now, of course, Tony Khan is going to make it last past 7.
At least 7:15, maybe 7:20. I think that for sure he's going to bleed over into the 7 o'clock hour just so people have a choice. And if the match is going as good as they as we think it'll be, they'll probably stick around. And then they'll have to just either rewind WrestlePalooza and miss it being live or just completely miss the Brock Lesnar-Cena match.
Right.
Now, regarding this match, the stipulations that are put in place set up the opportunity for the upset of the year. And I believe
in Joe Hendry.
Well, no, I don't believe in him. I do believe that Hangman Page is going to walk out as still world champion. I don't love the stipulations in this. I think this has the opportunity to have a really fucked up finish. And I don't mean the aspect of like a good kind. It has the unfortunate makings of a really messy finish. And so, the last thing that AEW needs
is a messy
is to have that bad of a finish going head to head with WrestlePalooza and Cena and Brock opening it, because that'll be the last thing people will see from AEW and go, oh no, I'm immediately turning this off and switching over, and they don't need that.
So I just thought of this for a minute. The stipulation is the Don Callis family cannot interfere, correct?
Yes.
So what if MJF just interferes?
On behalf of the Don Callis family, like they did business with each other?
Right.
Would you then therefore see like a deal happening where Callis himself or Callis has somebody on behalf of the family come out to help MJF beat Mark Briscoe, and then MJF returns a favor in the main event?
So I could just see it as MJF comes out, like he wins his match clean or whatever, but he comes out at the end and just beats the living hell out of Hangman Page, which I don't think it's a no DQ match, which would set up, you know, Fletcher gets DQ'd, Fletcher's pissed off, why did you interfere? It becomes known at a future Collision or Dynamite that Don Callis paid MJF, which I think could play into the Tony Khan MJF feud as well, and to say Tony Khan's going to strip MJF of his opportunity to challenge Hangman Page because he's disrespecting the what it means to be a pro wrestler.
I don't hate that. I just, again,
it's messy. I agree. It's messy, but that's kind of where the Death Riders were at one point. It was messy finish after messy finish. And that's just, that's kind of the way Tony Khan books is a lot of, until we get the big picture, a lot of the entry level stuff is messy. But once you get it into the big picture of, okay, I see what's going on, you kind of understand like it's messy in the moment, but big picture, it actually makes sense.
Yeah. And I'm
but
okay.
I do agree. I do agree with you. This maybe isn't the pay-per-view to have a messy finish.
This is the one show where we don't need it. We don't need it. And wait until Wednesday. Wait until Saturday. Wait until Wrestle Dream. Just this one night, we need a good, clean, good match, clean finish. And I almost kind of wish they didn't have these stipulations. But then it's like, okay, well, now you know Callis and the family's coming out. But it's like, I don't know. I just, like you said, I'm not real sure why we had to put Fletcher in this spot. I think he's fine being a main event type player, but I just find it's just an awkward timing of it. And it's just the whole stipulation convolutes the entire situation in the match. But I'm hoping for as clean of a finish, as clean of a match as possible. And AEW just has a really solid, good show overall, and they don't cause any sort of headaches or the Fed stands to come on Twitter and say, see, haha, I didn't spend $40 on a shit pay-per-view. I tuned in to ESPN for free where I have it for free and watch WrestlePalooza. It's going to be a tough challenge regardless because of the fact that it is on ESPN and it's the first pay-per-view on ESPN. Sorry, PLE. But it's kind of a dangerous game to play with the way the match is set up, having this being the main event, of course. But, I just hope that we don't get too crazy of a situation in the finish. And I'm fine with MJF maybe coming out at the very end of the match, like after the match is over, and then kind of beats up Hangman. We got to get through the match. Get through the match as clean as possible. And that's as fine. That's as much as I can hope for.
Yeah, no, I'm not as hyped about this pay-per-view as a whole as I was like Forbidden Door or even All In. I think this is, like I said a couple episodes ago on one of my solo shows, this is kind of like the part of the year where both companies kind of, I don't want to say throw in the towel until January, but the lead up to some of the pay-per-views or PLEs or whatever you want to call them typically aren't like, this is the slow season, if you were to say, of pro wrestling. And so like, I think it'll be like AEW, you're going to get a B or better pay-per-view every time they have a show. Like this may be a B pay-per-view, and it's still going to be a really good show. It's just going to be hard. Like if you look at some of the historic moments that we've had in 2025 at some of these pay-per-views, it's just hard for me to imagine this being better than some of those moments. So, but I still think it'll be a good show. I gotta buy it. I still haven't bought it yet. Typically I got paid today, so I'll buy it here probably tomorrow morning. But man, it's, I don't know, the hype level isn't as high as it usually is for pay-per-view weekend for me. So hopefully they overperform my expectations and I leave here saying, I was wrong about the hype of this show. Like you said, who knows, maybe I'll tune on WrestlePalooza. Probably not, but, we'll see. Any last words before we end the stream, tonight?
I hope for a good show tomorrow. I feel AEW will perform like they usually do. Hoping for Clemson win tomorrow. I do not have my hopes up. I feel like we're going to lose by 30, and I'm throwing in the towel for this season. I'm hoping and praying for a Commanders win on Sunday. We got a backup quarterback playing, and some of our top guys are out, so it's not going to be fun, but hey, you know what? This isn't your mid-2000s, 2010s Redskins / Commanders, so maybe they'll surprise me. You're good until next week. Congratulations on your Bills winning last night. I think that at the end of the year, both the Gamecocks and Clemson are going to be 5-6, and our game is going to be whoever wins. It's a bowl game.
It's the bowl game bowl.
It's quickly in 3 weeks, I'm no longer excited about college football season.
So I have a dilemma. Do I watch WrestlePalooza and watch the South Carolina Gamecocks on ESPN get absolutely murdered by Missouri? Or do I skip watching the slaughtering of my favorite college football team and watch WrestlePalooza? Which one's going to bore me the most, I guess is what I got to ask.
Suffer or suffer is your answer. Which do you not want to suffer the most through?
Right.
That's a tough one.
Well, everybody, it's a special night. Friday, we typically run these on Thursdays, but last night the Buffalo Bills were playing, so I wasn't going to be online. I was watching the game last night. We'll be back next Thursday, though, and we'll ride through the end of the year, and who knows the next time we get another break.
Well, for sure, we have one day we'll probably get a break, and that's if not Thanksgiving, which it probably will. Oh, definitely, yeah. Christmas. I believe that's on a Thursday. So,
well, yeah. Outside of the holidays, we'll try to run. And if anything changes, we'll let you know on all our social media pages. Go to junkyardmediagroup.com, and you can find all of the links to all of our social medias. All the other links are in the description box below. Follow us on X, on Facebook, on Instagram. Follow us on, or join our Discord server. That's in the link. All the other links to all of our affiliate pages. I think I've hit everything. Like, comment, subscribe, share this video, turn the notifications on. If you're listening to audio version on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, give us a 5-star review, leave a comment, let everybody know why this show, the Beyond the Junkyard podcast, is the greatest show that you ever watch. It's probably not. We'll be honest, it's probably not. But listen, look, would you rather listen to us or Dave Meltzer? Think about it that way.
And you don't have to pay for our server.
Yeah, no, it's absolutely free for now. This is Beyond the Junkyard podcast. We take wrestling seriously, so you don't have to. And look, it's been like 3 weeks. Are you ready to say the final words? Are you prepared for that?
No, I feel like I almost forgot the words, but, listen, you know, the last couple of weeks have been a little trepidatious, a little crazy, a lot going on. One thing we did not mention at the beginning, because of obviously the shock of what happened a week and a half ago, 8 days, so 7 days, so a week from yesterday, was the 24th year anniversary of 9/11. So, never forget, always remember. So with that being said, as crazy the last couple of weeks have been, I feel like some things that kind of rally people together are entertainment, sports, wrestling, and good food. And especially when it comes to good food, you need to have stuff that you can make people full, happy, sassy, fat, all of the above. And especially when you're gathering around on the weekends, watching football, watching wrestling, watching whatever. Best way to do that is by making your favorite dish that potentially has sauce. In particular, whatever sauce you want. It could be a condiment. It could be a homemade sauce. It could be your spaghetti and meatballs. It could be a bolognese. It could be a marinara. It could be a pizza sauce. Whatever the hell you would like to indulge in. I sincerely hope that we can unite and rally together by just stirring some sauce. So with that being said, I hope that everyone has a great weekend. Enjoy the festivities of football and wrestling and everything in between. But most importantly, stay saucy, friends.
Absolutely. We'll see y'all next Thursday. Just another housekeeping note, because the pay-per-view's on at 2:00 tomorrow. There will be no Saturday episode of the show. But we'll be back to normal schedule next week, Thursday, Saturday. So anyways, y'all have a good weekend, and enjoy some wrestling, and we'll see y'all next Thursday on the Beyond the Junkyard podcast. Beyond the